This is an interview with Mr. Tom Carey for the Youngstown State University or Ursuline High School project by Donna DeBlasio at Mr. Carey's office on November 26, 1974 at 3:20 p.m. Mr. Carey, would you tell us something about your background?
As far as Ursuline High School is concerned, my first day here at Ursuline High School was back in the fall of 1947, in August of 1947. Prior to that, I had spent 3.5 years in the service, spent 1 year teaching in Pennsylvania, and attended high school and college in Pennsylvania, certified, and when I started at Ursuline High School, I was certified in math, health and physical education, teaching in those areas, and also coaching. Is there anything else that you would suggest on my background?
Where were you educated?
Oh, the attended Newcastle High School in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, Slippery Rock State College at Slippery Rock, where I received a BS degree, and at University of Pittsburgh, where I received an ME degree, and I also attended Youngstown State University and taken graduate courses in administration, and presently hold certification, principal certification, and a superintendent certification.
Why did you come to teach at Ursuline?
Because I always wanted, after teaching 1 year in the public school system, I had heard about Ursuline High School, and when I was informed that there would be a possible opening at Ursuline High School, I inquired about it through Mr. Paul Cuba, who was the only layperson on the faculty at that time, and this is why I wanted to come to Ursuline High School, because I'm going to teach in a Catholic high school.
About how many hours a week did you teach?
When I originally started at Ursuline High School, I was teaching 5 classes. And coaching, so I was actually teaching 5 to 6 hours a day, a full school day, and then the extracurricular activities involved, since there were only 2 lay people on the faculty at that time, they were responsible for all extracurricular activities, and so from fall to spring, we were usually occupied in activities after school each day, from 3 to 6 o'clock.
What did you teach?
The first year I was here, I taught the physical education, the health class, and a general math class. Then, in the 27 years that I've been at Ursuline, I have taught in the physical education class, the health, mechanical drawing, all levels of mathematics, from the algebra to general math through math 4. These are the areas in which I was certified in, and these are the areas that I did teach. My certification in mechanical drawing was acquired through Youngstown State University in the engineering department while I was in my second year here at Ursuline High School.
What type of methods did you use in teaching?
It would depend on the course in which you're teaching. In physical education, the methods that we used there were mostly of an activity nature, demonstration, and then activity. In the mathematics, I always use the more traditional approach, where a method would be used in explaining or lecturing in a particular area, and then allowing time with supervision for students to work on particular areas, problem areas, and then also allowing time for beginning homework in these particular areas. So it would depend in health, again, you maybe make a little bit of approach, or in mechanical drawing, as to the methods. I think that in all cases, you would adjust your method of teaching as to the types of students you had, either slow, medium, or fast students. You would adjust it as to the material that you were going to teach, whether it be in health or whether it be in an activity course such as physical education or a mechanical drawing or drafting course. It's a little different than a MAPS. So there again, I do feel that a teacher should teach accordingly, adjust their teaching methods as to those, the type of material taught, students taught, and so the best way in which they can present their particular topic.
How dedicated were the teachers when you first started and compared to now?
I think we have changed a little, not a whole lot. There were more religious teaching when I first started. As I mentioned, there were only two lay men on the faculty, and probably the faculty was made up then for the remainder of the teachers were either sisters or priests. And they were a very dedicated group of individuals at that time. In other words, I would say you probably would have 95% dedication. Compared to today, we probably have about 80%. These are rough estimates, where you may have 80% of your faculty is really dedicated to doing the job. And I don't think that any school will have 100% or perfection in dedication of all staff members involved. I think there has been a slight change, but not a major change.
Said the teachers are more qualified now than they were then?
I would say academically qualified, yes. Because we have more teachers presently on our faculty who are all certified in the areas in which they're teaching, and just about 48% have master's degrees, and back 27 years ago, this was not true. So they are, I think, better qualified than the teachers were academically at that time, as far as better qualified in the area of teaching methods. I would say that methods have changed, and they probably are better qualified today because of the variation of methods that can be used through media materials. And the materials that we use today has been a tremendous increase in amounts and the types of materials that can be used in teaching than what we used to have. The blackboard and the chalk was probably the only visual aid that we could use in those days. Today we have many, many materials and equipment that we can use, which makes for better teaching.
What is the approximate ratio of religious faculty to lay faculty?
We have 67 on our staff right now, of which there are 6 priests, 28 laymen, 17 sisters, and 16 laywomen, or a total of 67. This includes our guidance department, our administration staff also. So the ratio of religious to lay people would probably be about 3-1. We like people to everyone religious presently.
Would you say that it's better or worse to have more lay people in the back than like when you came, there were like 2 lay people?
I think generally speaking, it's better, whether they are a religious or lay. I think there are very outstanding teachers, lay teachers. There are some poor lay teachers. There are very outstanding religious teachers. There are some poor religious teachers. But I think the balance that we have now, I would hope that we can keep that balance, but it may not be possible, because then that gives for a great variation or variety in your faculty, which I think makes for a strong faculty. We have conservative faculty members, we have liberal faculty members, we have the in between, and I think there again, this makes for strong faculty. Rather than to try to stereotype every individual on your faculty, and maybe this is possibly what had occurred back 25 years ago, when we had 95% religious, and they would be more, there would be the flexibility that there is today.
Is the pay scale, or was the pay scale between men and women the same, or was there a discrepancy?
At one time, the difference in pay scale in lay men and lay women was head of the household. At one time, the diocesan pay scale for high school teachers, the head of the household was given an extra, not a stipend, an extra amount of money, say, for example, maybe $500 more than an individual who was not head of a household, in relationship to a woman who was working and her husband was also working. But with the change, and I would say this change probably took place maybe 15 years ago, where everyone is paid the same, no matter what. In fact, one time we never had a salary schedule. We never had contracts. It was all a verbal agreement. My first 5 years here, it was all just a verbal agreement between the principal and the individual working. And contracts begin to come into existence as lay teachers increase on the staff, and eventually then we work to a salary schedule, each individual negotiating for themselves. So I have seen many changes in this area of change in personnel, change in salary, change in fringe benefits, and things of this sort. That would be all in that particular area. Change at one time, there was a differential, but today there is not.
How would you compare the pay scale as to what the Youngstown Public School System is paying their teachers?
Our pay scale, until 2 years ago, was always set up on 95% of the Youngstown Public School System. The Secretary Teachers Federation of the Diocese of Youngstown is organized, and now they have negotiated pay scales which are not on a 95% basis, but it is on a set figure. So, but it is about a 95%, continues to be about a 95%, but a set figure. And probably will continue along the same lines. When you compare this pay scale to surrounding school systems, it may be on 100% pay scale of those, and in some cases of the smaller schools, it was above the pay scale of those county schools.
Is there a
But we do always set it up on 95%. And we probably went with this method and philosophy for about 10 years, 95% of the Youngstown school system. Today it is a set salary schedule, which is somewhere between 90 and 95%.
You say this is Marcus Lombeck, would it be more difficult to get teachers because of the attraction of the pay and the fire in the public schools?
Not dedicated teachers, it wouldn't be, because we find now that of the 67 teachers on our staff, that probably 70 or 75% of them have been here for 10 or more years. So they have made the decision that they would prefer to stay on this salary schedule because they enjoy the teaching conditions here at Ursuline High School. If they were on the Youngstown Public School salary schedule, they would also be teaching in the Youngstown Public School. And some of our teachers have experienced this and have made the choice of staying with us. Handbook that we ask certain practices be followed. We do not have anything in writing as specific dress or anything of this sort. We have general statements such as that a teacher at Ursuline High School or in any of the schools in the diocese is expected to conduct themselves so as to give good Christian example, good Catholic example. But there has never been any specific rules as to whether they have to wear particular clothes or dress or this sort. I don't think it's any problem. As far as specific regulations in regard to record keeping or lesson plans or the academic end of it, there are certain requirements that our new teachers have to go through in lesson planning, being supervised, things of this sort, which I think are standard procedures that any school system requires of new teachers. I don't think there is anything else along the outside of our handbook, our faculty handbook, which is put out by the diocesan office. It spells out not only procedures, our policies and procedures for the operation of the school, meaning the students to be in the class.
This handbook was
No, this handbook was probably developed about 1960. The faculty handbook on the diocesan level. There were always faculty meetings in which directions would be given by the principal as to procedures and so forth. In many cases, there was nothing in conduct behavior measures.
What type of relationship was there between
The relationship of, also should be a relationship of employee to employer, where the employer is the boss and the employee follows the procedures and directions that they set up for the operation of the school. I think the relationship as far as communications was concerned was good, but I can say that all the principals that I served under, the door was always open to discuss any problems that you may have, requests that you may make. In many cases, most of the requests would be granted, or in some cases, it would be denied if it was impossible or if they thought that it should not be. I would say that, generally speaking, for a administrative and staff relationship, which was better than average when I was a faculty. I don't know whether your next question would be as a principal. I think even as a principal sitting on this side of the desk, I still think that we have about the same relationship. Things have changed because of change in the makeup of our faculty. The organization of teachers, where this change has taken place in industry and business, in all areas. And any changes that have taken place in other areas normally are taking place in our school. Our employee may be more outspoken and feel free to express their feelings today than they would have 20 years ago. And again, like you with the administration now, as we listen and have to act within economic vast regulations, in making decisions, making a judgment in those areas where requests are made by faculty, by staff. Custodial staff, with the secretary or office staff, the bookkeeping or business staff, the kitchen staff. At that time, and 20 years ago, and still today, when we have a Christmas party or we have meetings such as our North Central visitation recently, we had a dinner, we had all staff members in attendance at that dinner, not just the professional personnel. We've always had that observation as to who one individual is any better, that much better than any other, whether it be the principal or the member of the custodial staff. These are basic philosophies that should be taught in a Catholic educational institution. They sometimes get all complicated, but basically, we've just completed a North Central visitation of 39 members of the team, and the one thing when they left the building, they have not written up the report, but the one point that they made, generally speaking, that they were amazed at the good relationship between the faculty and the students. And this was the result of many, many interviews with students, not solely with faculty. Students who expressed their feeling of loyalty to the school and the faculty and the students. Much more than I had expected. We are anxious to see the results in writing the results of our simple visitation. To see if this is, see if this is verified by their report. But this seemed to be the strong point they made with the relationship, the good relationship between faculty and research body, and that the attitude that the students had in regard to things in the school. And I'm speaking generally, even though there are all these exceptions in school.
Do you think that it was the same when you first started?
I think it probably was the same, but I probably was not as conscious of it and took many things for granted at that time. I think there had been a lot of tradition built at Ursuline High School, where this tradition of loyalty has been established over many, many years, and it seems to carry on. I would say that it was probably the same. That area. Now, relationship between faculty and student back in those days, it was probably a more, I'm not sure of it. I would have to give a lot of thought to it, but I would say even education at that time, there was a difference. There wasn't that closeness of faculty and student 20 years ago. Today, a student is not very hesitant about coming up and asking a question. They should, in fact. 20 years ago, there were probably some students that would be afraid to stop a faculty and call and ask a question. So I think that there is a more open relationship. Generally speaking, it's good.
Did you say that there was any jealousy at all among the teachers?
Oh, I suppose there is. There is competition. When I originally started, our faculty was not broken down into departmental areas. Today, we're broken down into departmental areas, and I think there probably is competition between departments, but when you have a group of 67 individuals, you're going to have some differences in personalities, and probably maybe one could be jealous of another. I don't think it's a serious problem. If it exists, it's on a very small basis. Again, we get back to the philosophy of our education for Ursuline High School. The philosophy of Ursuline High School is that teachers should teach by example. And if they are displaying through words or through actions jealousy, then this is they are not doing a good job. But it could happen. But I think this is plays a very minor role. But as you know, when you have two people, there's always a difference. And that is on some, whether it be on discipline, or whether it be administering a test, or supervising a study hall, or supervising during the lunch period. Each one likes to do it their own way, which sometimes it makes strength in a faculty. If every faculty member did everything the same at our school, it would be awful monotonous, an awful stereotype. So there is this variation, and when you have those, you're going to have a little bit of jealousy. But I don't think we have. This is not a major problem.
As a faculty member, did you feel that the administration was liberal or anything with the school, or were they conservative?
Well, I think it would depend on, served on the board of principals. Each one was a little generally speaking, I think that if I were to classify all four in one category, I would say it would be somewhere between the conservative and the middle of the road. But it's in this area. And then again, they would vary in some areas. They would be very conservative and very strict in one area of discipline. Sometimes you get the criticism, this leads to another point, where families, you're asking families, I say no. We're always accused, and we hear more criticism in the area of parishes influencing decisions at the high school. In other words, they say this student is from so-and-so parish, therefore they receive all the attention and all the grades. I've heard more complaints in this area. But yet, I don't think this is true either, because I've seen some students who would come from, you might say, the poorer parishes, and from the poor neighborhoods, who would be recognized and given attention as anyone from richer parishes or the richer neighborhoods. I don't think there has been any prejudice shown, generally speaking, these areas, just the that I know. Expectative students at that time in the way of discipline areas, but today I think we expect more of them maybe in the academic area than we did at that time. Some of our assignments that we give today are more of a college nature than they were back 20 years ago. I think that through media, television, radio, library and so forth, the student has more of an opportunity and there's more information for him to us, so that we probably do expect more from him today than we did 20 years ago in the academic area. The reverse of that may be in the discipline. No major difficulties. I think that that was well planned and thought out over a period of 3 or 4 years, because at that time the new addition was being planned on Ursuline High School along with the new building at Mooney. And we had to make plans for an annex to handle all ninth grade students. Ninth grade students were either handled at the annex on the south side of Glenwood Avenue or at St. Edward's. Then here at Ursuline, we had only 10th, 11th, and 12th grade students. Then when those ninth grade students from the south side completed that, then Mooney High School started, and those ninth grade students went to Mooney. The one from St. Edward's came to Ursuline, and then we reverted back to the four-year high school. We just did that for 1 year, and Mooney then started with 2 years, both a freshman and sophomore class. It created some problems, but it ran smoothly. After about 4 years, everyone was everyone's back in operation as two normal high schools. I think it worked out, and it's worked out well since then, too.
Well, Coach, what did you coach over the years?
Possibly all of the sports. I originally started as an assistant football coach and basketball coach. Then, after about a year, 2 years, I then became head football and head basketball coach. And we originated our track program, so acted as head track coach. So I've really served in coaching in the three areas, football, basketball, and track, at some time or other as head coach and assistant coaches, and also served as athletic director, which really the head football coach at that time just assumed the athletic directorship.
What rivalries were there?
The big rivals were within the city when I originally High School. Probably our greatest rivalry was with a neighborhood rivalry with Moran for the first few years, but then East became a very strong rivalry. It was East and Ursuline dominating city competition. We've always had good relationship. We had good relationships with the city schools, and the city league was made up of the six city schools plus the high school. And Ursuline High School did not dominate the league, but they were very successful in the city. I'd say probably the biggest rivalry we had, the longest number of years, would have been the with East High School.
What would you say were your best seasons in your course as head coach?
Probably the worst season as a head coach would have been in 1951 in football, where we won only 2 games. The best season in football would have been in 1956, where we won 10 games and ranked 5th in the state of Ohio. In basketball, the best season would have been in 1952, when we won 19 games and lost 2. Worst season of basketball was probably in 1955, when we maybe won 9 and lost 9.
Did you find any difficulties in switch over from the city streets to still the big competition?
There weren't any major difficulties, and this was why the switchover took place was this reason. That the city schools had decided that all income earned from athletic events would be put into one central fund. And if Ursula and Mooney were to continue in the City League, we would have to go along with this. We felt that we could not do this because we were generating the major part of the income for that. And we needed this income to support our athletic programs, otherwise we would have to drop our athletic programs. So at that time, Don Butchie and myself had explored the possibility of entering the Steel Valley League by asking to meet with members of the Steel Valley. And this took about a 2-year period before we were going to be accepted into that league. And I think the changeover took time, but not any major hurdles. And I think it's worked out well for one person moving from both a financial standpoint and from a recognition standpoint. We are now able, competing in this league, able to amass enough income to support the remaining part of our athletic programs.
Do you have a preference over the conferences and series or still now?
Presently, under the present circumstances, we prefer to be in the school out here. We probably would have still remained in the City League if the financial arrangements would have been different as far as each individual school keeping their gate receipts rather than splitting among the 7 schools of equal proportion.
Did you find any difficulties in dealing with the athletes?
Generally speaking, no. Majority of the athletes that I've ever been in contact with have been cooperative, and the majority have been good students and no problem in discipline. Now, you'll always have exceptions to this, and probably why we had success is when we'd run into an exception, we either would not allow them to participate in athletics, if they did not keep their keep a passing grade in subjects, or not, or if they became a discipline problem in school, then we would not encourage them to stay in athletics. And I think our success in this area here at Ursuline High School is because of the type of individuals that are participating.
There's stiff competition on the athletes.
Is there stiff competition for recognition and position? I think there is. I think there is. That's one thing we've always been able to do is to have enough candidates for teams, and this makes for good competition, and therefore makes for a good team. I think that we've always had enough students to try out for teams to make the program successful. I've always felt this way, that unless students are interested in a particular activity, there's no sense in having the activity. If we were to ever drop particular athletic sports, whether it be in boys or girls, it would be because of lack of interest.
Was the school spirit greater when you first started compared to now, or less?
I think when I first started, I would say the we had a better All right. In other words, summarizing school spirit, I think we've gone through a cycle where it was average when I came. It reached a very peak, probably in the 60s, 65, and then begin to fall off between 65 and 70, and I can see it generating again. And I think this was a trend everywhere in all schools, that students, as far as unit expression, was not great during that particular time as it was prior or possibly is now. I think that we have had some very, very good rallies this year, but maybe not as good as I've seen in past years, 10 years ago, or 7 years ago. But I do think it's turning around, and I think a different professional athletics has changed the picture in all, whether it be on the college level or the high school.
Do you feel that the athletes receive preferential treatment?
No, I don't think they do. I think they're recognized, but they do not receive preferential treatment as far as subject area or disciplinary. I think they are treated the same, and sometimes maybe a little more difficult than others because of they are in the limelight. There are some that would like to have preferential treatment, but I don't think any different from any other areas, such as the area of music, dramatics, speech, or student council officers.
Find more dedication among the athletes than for staff?
More dedication now or? I would say maybe less dedication now than there was 10 or 15 years ago, because there are more interest areas that a student athlete may share his time with than there were 15 or 20 years ago. I think a car has become a factor, a job has become a student dedicates himself 100% to that place, so he is putting in a great deal of time in that area. Back in those days, a student sometimes would participate in the entire school year in 3 different sports, putting a great deal of time. Today, we have fewer and fewer students doing this. They may participate in 1 or maybe 2, not very often 3 or 4 sports in 1 year. So I'd say there probably isn't as much dedication.
Who are some of your standing athletes?
We've had many outstanding athletes here at Urson High School. I think of some of the individuals that have gone into professional athletics, such as Paul McGuire. Played back here in the 50s, and then played 10 years in the professional football league. We have had other outstanding athletes, such as Zippy Morocco, who was named as an honor college level in football and in basketball. We've had many outstanding athletes who not only have been outstanding in their sports area, but have professional, I think of Dr. Michaels was a dentist, was an outstanding athlete here at Arizona. comfortable getting. Presently, as a dentist, was an outstanding athlete here at Mount Holly University of Pittsburgh. I can think of Dr. Haggerty, who was another specialist in the area of dental periodontist, who was an outstanding athlete here at Western Reserve University. There are many, many individuals who have received their education through athletics. Presently, we have students at Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, many of the larger schools, and then many students at smaller schools. We don't say that athletics has made them great individuals. I think athletics has helped them. They probably would have been great individuals without athletics.
Who are some of your outstanding colleagues over your years at Arizona?
Faculty members.
Yes.
Well, we've had individuals who have been on our faculty and also coaching that have gone out and made their way. For example, Richard Resig served on our faculty about 3 or 4 years, and presently is superintendent of schools of the Jackson-Milton School District. Jim Finch, who served on our faculty, is presently director of government programs for the Youngstown Public School System. We have had other individuals who have served on our faculty who are in administrative jobs in schools and or who are out in industry. For example, the assistant principal at the Boardman High School, Tom Shook, was a member of our faculty. In the area of the religious, we had at one time Bishop Hughes served on our faculty, who was presently our auxiliary bishop. Many of our principals in our assistant high schools, such as Father Luke at Campus Under Catholic Press, member of our faculty. Graduates of Ursuline High School have also become very prominent in positions of business, industry, and education. And I think that they have contributed, Ursuline High School in this way has contributed a great deal toward the Youngstown community area. Because of many graduates gone into, they've been leaders, civic leaders, industrial leaders, medical leaders. One of our outstanding graduates of medical leaders in this hospital the other day was Dr. Sharwell. I think, and there's always been the thing that has been pleasing to me, that it's always been these people that have been associated with us and they always have a warm feeling toward doing the duty. I applied for a position informally. Father Ashton, who was principal prior to being appointed principal, and I at that time was serving as assistant principal, had been offered and accepted the pastorship at St. Luke's Parish in August. I don't think there was much time to get through too much formality. I was called one day and asked if I would accept the position. I said that I would. And so that really, I think the school started in September and this decision being made in August, I don't think they didn't really get through any formalities. Whether it would, follow a different procedure if there's a different time factor. So, in answering your question about paying for the job, I didn't apply for it. I was offered the job and asked to accept it. Being here 20 years ago, well, I think being the first lady principal at Ursula High School faced some difficulties. And in being accepted by as an authority, the principal sometimes has to be in all areas of biology as well, the entire staff. And I think that being spent so much some years here at Ursula High School as fellow faculty members for the year of the class, it was very difficult to then be placed in a supervisory position where sometimes you have to make a decision on a different level than you have been associated with. These are some of the points, but I think that they worked out very well. Problems or differences that you understand we would have between the employer and the employee or between the boss and the worker. I think there's been advantages for my having that experience too, because my minority individuals and my nerve who can do the job best, and these are usually the individuals that I'm asking to do jobs. And I know who are the more cooperative, and who are willing, and who are dedicated individuals. Think of a position as a complete change. The stranger you would district that you would be at a disadvantage.
Do you feel any pressure from perhaps the diocesan board back to you?
Do I feel pressures? Oh yes, I think that this is one thing that is difficult to presents one of the difficulties in the position that I'm in. I have to work with and follow directions from the diocesan office and the Diocesan Board of Education. And I also have to implement their programs with our faculty, so I'm kind of the middleman, and yet I have to be able to keep a harmonious staff in operation within the school by making a pleasant situation for the faculty, and yet sometimes I may have to force a regulation that is a direction from the diocesan office that would be as difficult as my position and the position where I have to enforce it, and it's difficult for me to do it. But that's the position of principal is the first not the easiest job in the world. There again, you become involved with parents and implementing directions that the Diocesan Board of Education makes, whether it be financial, such as tuition, whether the tuition will be this month. So then it's my job to enforce that collectively, but even though some people may not agree that it should be. But it hasn't presented any major difficulties that can't be handled or worked out.
What type of problems do you face day to day basis?
Oh, they could start from the beginning of maintenance problems. You may come into school some morning, you've the boiler isn't working, or there has been a problem with one of the, there may be a plumbing problem, or there may be a lighting problem. So you start with facilities and maintenance problems, and you may get into staff personnel problems. Settling the difference between two professional staff, where they requested use of a particular room at the same time, and somebody else made the decision. Or you may become involved in a discipline problem where a teacher has with a student. Best curriculum for the school by meeting with the curriculum committee and trying to lead and encourage them to move in the right direction, which is the entire student body. You may become involved in community problems, some neighbor in the area, or you may be dealing with a parish problem. Request by number of parish you have students attending the school. And I think it's just a matter of facing many of these problems day in and day out, that you learn to handle them and you learn to know where to go to come up with the answers. Long-term policies and problems are responsibilities of setting up a budget, supervising the construction of the master schedule, assigning the teachers, selection, signing contracts with teachers. These are the long range problems that you run into maybe once or twice a year. But it is the responsibility of the principal to coordinate supervising the bookkeeping and financial English. One of those calls was, you have enough money to meet the payroll, what do you do with this? You put in a checking account with no interest, and you place it in a treasury bill for 1 month or 3 months to gain some interest. These are decisions that have to be made in this office. Whereas a public school principal does not have to make those decisions because those are made by the superintendent of the Board of Education, which controls all the students. Ours are controlled by the individual school. But so those, generally speaking, those are some of the things. Well, they'd all like to work. Shorter hours, fewer students, fewer assignments, but I think this is, and generally speaking, they are satisfied, or as I mentioned earlier in our interview, or they wouldn't continue to teach here at Ursulines. And I think it's either 75 or 80% of our teachers have been with us for 10 or more years. This was not always true in many cases. Always the thought was given that many teachers would come with us for 1 or 2 years and gain experience and then go into public schools. But many have found that going into the public school, the problems that they have in discipline are not worth it. They depending on the school system. I know we have still had two teachers that have left our school system. If they really enjoy teaching, they'd rather have a pleasant teaching condition. They put that as number one rather than number two, which to me, I say that we have to be a teacher.
Problem.
I think there is because of the many outstanding graduates that have been produced. And Sally mentioned that, in other words, when a student is asked where you go to school, I said, I go to school, where did you graduate from? They say it with pride. Some students may not say that. I think it's because, and it's something that's built up, not 20 years from now, 40 years tradition. I think the thing that bothers me most, will we be able to continue to keep this respect in the community? Continue to be respectful. I think it will.
Any other comments that you would like to make?
No, I think that as we have found out, students at Youngstown State University who have graduated from Hirschman or from the and I have taught limited service bases at Youngstown State University, and knowing many of the faculty members, I find them saying that the students graduating from Hirschman and Mooney are usually, generally speaking, are better students academically, and the most important thing, they are better citizens. Fourth block, we should be coming in just the students themselves in school. And as far as our future at Hirschman High School, there again, we've been here at Hirschman High School, and I've been here for a number of years. I've seen our enrollment be as low as 700 and it'd be as high as 1900 students. Presently, we are 1500. I think there will be a leveling off in the next few years to somewhere around 400 students. Probably the number. But I hope that we'll be able to continue to do a good job. That should be.